Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here again on another month as we bring these great guests on these certain episodes. Don't forget to find us on Spotify and anywhere else that you get your podcasts. We're also on YouTube. We post these on Facebook as well and other social media platforms, and you can keep up with the show and get to know a little bit maybe more about the guests, because there's a lot of links on there and websites where you can find more information about them. We've had some amazing people come on through the episodes over the years. I think this is now walking into the eighth year that I've been doing this podcast for the FSHD Society, and have really had a lot of fun talking to some amazing, amazing people. Today is one of those amazing people that has shown us what you can do, even though you have FSHD, continuing to strive in all the work that you continue to do and love our community out there. We have a lot of great artists and musicians and actors and actresses and directors all within the industry, as well as other people just working hard, doing what they do, regardless of the disease. And we hope that this guest inspires you today. We welcome Donna Russo into the show. Welcome, Donna. Thanks for being here. Spend a little bit of time talking about yourself. And
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that I'm here, Tim.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I know it was a work in progress for us, more on my side for communication. Those that know me well know, holy cow, it's sometimes tough to tie Tim down to even do these shows. So this is a great opportunity for us to sit down and learn more about yourself. And Donna, when we have guests on, a lot of the things that people seem to really gravitate to when we have guests on is, you know, they want to know about the guest, as in, you know, their FSHD story. What is that background? What brings them to the radio show that they want to share? So maybe kind of we start there, you know, a little bit of like, when were you diagnosed, and start that journey, if you can, to kind of go back to the, I don't know if it's the way back machine, but the time machine, so to speak.
Okay. When I was a little girl, I couldn't whistle. And FSH is something to with the facial muscles, the scapular muscles, and your legs too.
Right.
And so I couldn't whistle for a Christmas show, but I never knew what it was. I just thought I couldn't whistle. So, and I left it alone. And I hummed the song in the part that was supposed to be whistled. And so that's how I get through that. I was very concerned that I couldn't whistle, but I just left it go. And I thought, well, that's okay. So, and I did, then I went about my life. I took lots of dance classes. I started dancing at 10. So I really didn't think anything else. I didn't think anything of it. And I danced all through grade school, college, high school, everything. And I was, you know, okay. I didn't find anything wrong. And then one day I was at the gym. And I did a lot of the arm presses together.
Yeah.
Like a lot, that I tired myself out. And so the next day I noticed that it was hard to raise my hand. And so I thought, wow, this is weird. But I just thought I made myself, oh, you worked out a lot, you know, that's all that is.
Yeah.
And then about 2 years later, or 3 years later, maybe, the other arm was giving me a problem raising. And I thought, well, I better, like, this doesn't seem right. So maybe I should get it checked out. And I did. And that's when I got the diagnosis that I had FSH. I just tried to continue to go through life normal and do as much as I could. You know, I just noticed that things were getting weaker. My arms, and then it was like my back of my legs started getting a little bit weak. And you know, maybe years later, the other leg would get more weak. So it was like a slow loss of the strength
right.
of the muscles. And my love for dance never stopped. So I kept going, and I took a dance workshop with someone by the name of Tam Warner. And she made up a dance using how much I could lift my arms. And it's on YouTube. It's called I Won't Give Up, Donna Russo. And it shows me with two other dancers who are like my extension. Hmm. You know, they're like the extension of my arms and my.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because at that time, I was walking with a cane. And, you know, Tam's a wonderful choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that dance, and we did it at Abilities Expo.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah. We did it three times at different Abilities Expo. Two in Los Angeles and one in San Jose, where we were there for a weekend. And the Abilities Expo is one. I just have to talk a little bit about that because
it's,
you know what that is, right? You know Abilities Expo, right?
I don't. Why don't, and just in case those that don't know, because is it just in your California area? Because that's where you're from, or is it more national?
It's like in Houston, it's New Jersey, it's New York.
Okay.
Philadelphia, yeah. Chicago, different cities. And it's like a show for all the different technology that's available to people with disabilities.
Okay.
So it's really amazing. Plus they have workshops and performances like we did, you know, with dance and assisted animal training. It's just amazing what they have.
Wow. So then you did this dance at that expo, kind of highlighting your skills that you still have in dance, regardless of FSHD. When you talked about, though, the diagnosis part, you know, what was that moment like? Because you go from, you know, shoulder soreness, difficulty lifting after maybe a more strenuous workout, as you described it, and then that leads kind of down this path of a diagnosis in front of a doctor. What were you thinking when you went into the doctor's office, if you can recall, what you thought was going on to what they were telling you was going on?
I got a little emotional. I got a little saying, oh, this isn't going to be really bad. It's not going to, you know, I'm going to. And then I started thinking, oh, boy, what happens if I can't dance? You know, what will I do? And that's in my mind where I said, I'm going to do just as much as I can. And I still have that desire to move. And so I'm going to try to make it work how I want to. And that's when I said to Tam, like, I want to do these videos because I want people to see, because I still have that passion for dance.
Yeah.
And so we did together, despite our challenges. She has a challenge with like her heart.
Okay. Okay.
So
there's like your common ground. She's working through something, her something. And then yours is, of course, is FSHD. And then together kind of make this collaboration. Yeah. That's beautiful.
So we did I Won't Give Up with two amazing dancers. And you can watch that on YouTube. Kalea Sheeran and Tara Nicole Hughes were the other dancers with me in that. So
now, and you do more, though, than dance. I mean, that is definitely a passion. There's no question. It comes out in that. I do implore everyone to look that video up. I watched it several times. It's very good. Very good. I don't know anything, Donna, about dancing like that at all, but there is definite beauty and flow to it. I like how you described it as like that was the extension of yourself. Your arms, your legs were those dancers. And to hear you say that made me go, oh, that makes a lot of sense of what I was visually seeing. But dancing isn't the only thing you do. You also do some acting, right?
Yes. That, yeah, I met this very talented young woman, Peggy Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was looking for a place to move to that was on the first floor, that had its own bathroom, its own bedroom, and just like where I could park my car when I was driving. And I was looking for an apartment, and she had been taking care of her parents, and she knew what it was like for mobility issues. And so I came upon her. She was looking for a roommate. So I came upon her advertisement.
Okay.
And she knew some people that I knew from the entertainment industry. And she also was on the first floor, had a garage with parking underground where I could put my car right from out the door. I could have access to my car. Hmm. Own separate bathroom, bedroom, everything was separate. Wow. And the one thing though was that the shower had a tub in my bathroom, and I couldn't step over.
Yeah, I couldn't step over. Sure.
So she had a walk-in shower in her room, and she said to me, "Well, when you need to use the shower, you can use mine." And just, you know, because she was used to doing that for her dad. Her dad needed a walk-in, so he would go also to her walk-in shower because the tub was high for him.
Yeah.
And so then she had the concept of this, she created this Donna on the Go show with a lighthearted view of all the challenges we go through as people with disabilities.
So it was Peggy's idea? I mean, to kind of see that there was something there to kind of film and spin off of that life and show people?
She said she wanted to bring an awareness. Hmm. And she also wanted to bring, like, she thought humor was a good way to get it across. So it's a lighthearted view. Because I mean, it's no joke, FSH.
Right.
But I try not to take it all too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already, I'm emotional. Already, it's not a joke, you know?
Yeah, right.
So we didn't want people to get so depressed.
Yeah, there's no question that that's not at all the premise of the episodes. They're not serious, per se. But they are real. I mean, you're showing the struggle is real. Like season one going to Target. I mean, something like Target, like, okay. And I love Target. You know, I think a lot of people do. But to see it from Donna on the Go's eyes and how that goes, there's one particular point. I think you're like down like the cat food aisle in there in a scene. And you look up at what definitely appears to be a bag of heavy stuff that should not be that high in a certain situation that you're in, because you're in a scooter and you're doing right. Your shopping. And that perspective, I think everyone feels it. They're like, whoa, well, how is she going to do that one? You know, and it kind of gives you that like real life perspective, but yet not being too serious. So I'm kind of glad that you preface that it is supposed to be kind of like, okay, we already know it's serious, but how do we make the serious a little bit funny? Because that was that kind of the take then of every episode going forward.
Right. And I always loved acting and filming. And I've done some film and TV. Like I seem to get like roles as like characters, you know, like aliens, monsters, dolls.
Really?
Yeah. It's because of my size. But I enjoy it.
Yeah.
A
What's your, out of those roles that you just mentioned, what's the type of role that you would gravitate to more over another?
I would like to be, we always talk about this as performers with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to represent like a performer with a disability who, or a character that is a lawyer, a doctor, a school teacher.
Right.
That we see all the time.
Real.
You know, things that are real.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's fun to play characters like that are, you know, monsters, aliens, whatever. But also have some representation as like people who do everyday do things in the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, like occupations, you know.
Right. Because there are people that are those occupations that you mentioned that have disabilities, challenges, etc. They're out there. So why do you think then that, be it the, you know, the Hollywood world or whoever makes those casting decisions, whatever, you know, the idea that that's not a good idea to have someone in that role? Where do you think that that came from? That thought process of let's avoid putting talented actors in that role if they have those disabilities.
Maybe they think it's just going to be too much to have somebody with a disability on set. Maybe, you know, too expensive or too much. That they have to change or accommodate, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we get out there and show people, then the better it is,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to say, "Oh yeah, she could do that."
True.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And then I think then you start seeing the character they're playing, not the person playing the character. You know, they're not seeing someone in, if it's power equipment, a wheelchair, etc., or working through the scenes with some type of adaptive material or tools or whatnot. I think,
right.
I just think that society is probably too, they think that society is too scared to see that, but that's too real.
They're not, there is something that they're not used to or they're getting used to. And we're making a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think more and more will come,
mm-hmm.
as time goes on, you know, and people see,
mm-hmm.
the talent out there.
Absolutely. Now, you had also another episode where you asked a gentleman in a scene to, you know, that was playing a character in this episode, where you asked him to go get your car, right? Wasn't that a part of that? And he left into the parking structure, drove your car back for you. There was that moment where you had to ask him for help, you know, as your character had to ask another for help. And like in the real world of asking, you know, for help, do you find that that is difficult to do or to have to ask someone?
Yeah, it is difficult to have to ask someone because you're used to doing things. Well, depends on when you become disabled, but
mm-hmm, right.
It's just hard because you want to be able to do it yourself. You know, you don't want to have to, or at least me, I'm speaking for me, I don't want to have to bother somebody to do something for me.
Right.
You know, I would like to be able, but it I'm getting better because it's like, it's okay. You need this help and you really need somebody to help you. So yeah, it's okay once in a while to ask for help, even though it was really hard, very hard.
Yeah. I had a friend tell me once, his name is Justin Cisak, and he was part of this documentary called I'll Push You. It was about two friends that walked 500 miles through Spain on this big, you know, path that people take, some type of, how about like a pilgrimage. And he wanted to do it, even though he was in a wheelchair. But Justin's in the wheelchair, and his friend, Patrick, he asked him to push him, hence the documentary I'll Push You. So in the midst of the documentary, I had him on a very, very early episode of this FSHD Society radio show. And he does not have FSHD. He has a different autoimmune disease, actually. And I asked him that same question. You know, I said, when it comes to, especially in the documentary, I'm like, you appear to be almost like, you feel like you're a burden to people because they have to help you. They have to do things for you, or you have to ask. And he said that, you know, you got to get over that to a point where you have to get your mindset to go, don't deprive somebody that wants to help you. Don't deprive them of that. They want to. So don't take that from them. You know, don't see it as a burden. See it as, this is something that they're willing to do. They want to do. I found that very profound. And I wanted to kind of bring that up to you. And I have to others since, and maybe like, you know, your two cents of kind of what that kind of statement, you know, can you relate to that kind of mindset when asking for help or getting it from someone?
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. Some people do want to help you, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, it's just like, they want to say, well, let me do that for you. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. You know?
Yeah.
And I can relate to that. Mm. What you're saying, yeah, some people, don't deprive them of, they really do want to help you, but yeah, it is something that you have to get over. Mm. You
know? And when you got your early diagnosis time, right, and you mentioned the disease was a slow progression, like it is for so many of us. My neurologist told me it's like, you know, stair falls. You're here and then slowly it'll drop, and then maybe some time and then something else will happen, and so forth it goes. And the stair falls will become quicker as you get older and all this. It's almost like advanced aging to some degree, you know, things are happening faster and you start losing ability of, you know, losing function in certain things quicker. So as you look at yourself, you know, now where you are, obviously your passion seems to very much be strong in the world of the arts of dance and acting, being creative, because, you know, the brain is not being affected. You know, right. The body is, but the brain is not. So how do you cope with the fact that your brain is firing the passion to be within that world of still doing that work of dance and acting and creativity, but yet your body doesn't want to cooperate sometimes?
I just think to myself, well, you have to do things the way you are now. Hmm. So if maybe I was acting and walking to do a conversation or walking or dancing and jumping or something, there is a different way I need to do the scene with the dialogue. Maybe I need just to do scenes that are seated, which is okay.
Yeah.
Still enjoying acting. Mm-hmm. And, because everything, even dancing, I was like, maybe I can't jump or maybe I can't leap or something, but it's all in the face. It's in the face. Like, so even when the muscles are going, I try to emote, you know, from the face, from the eyes,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what I have.
Mm.
That's what I've got now.
Mm.
So, and a lot of dancing and acting is showing in your face,
mm-hmm.
the emotions your person is going through.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could still use, I have to use it much more, I think, that things have been taken away, like, you know, muscles have been taken away.
Right.
It's more in the face. Like when I dance, it's a lot in the face. And in acting too, it's a lot in the face. Just, I don't know, you saw Garage, right?
With
the space.
Yeah.
Okay, when I get out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and they're arguing, and I just get out of the car, I was almost in tears that day. I was in tears that day, because I just looked at them, and I just was like, are you serious? You know?
Yeah.
And you see that in my face. You see, yes. She just looked at her friend. I always say she, but it's me. But Donna Reed, she looks at her friend and just goes, you know, just stop.
Right.
Enough.
Yeah. But you do portray that. You portray that very well. You did that throughout every episode. There's many moments where you could read the emotion in your face. even though FSHD, right, is fighting against you still a little bit of having to create that, quite an adaption to do that in your acting, despite the fact that a muscle wasting disease is trying to make it difficult. So what is the key there for you? Like, how are you? I'm not an actor, so I'm trying to use the right word. Like, what do you pull from to create that look or that expression? Or like, are you going into like a memory or something like that where you can reenact what that feels like so that people understand by the look?
In that particular scene, it was like, I was really in that moment where I felt like, are these two people really serious right now? They're arguing over this?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the part where I felt like I'm a burden or I'm being a, I'm just asking for my parking space for God's sake.
Right.
You know? And then as I was feeling it, the tears I was in tears crying a little bit there, or starting to fill up. And that's because, this is just like too much. I can't believe you two people. Mm. And I'm standing here with this walker.
Yeah.
And you're continuing on your thing in my space.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm starting to get angry about it now.
But rightfully so. And those are the things that make those episodes great, is the fact it is real. These are real struggles that people have. It's relatable. They understand that. And to put it on film, to video it, to produce it in a way that is, it can be funny. It can be heart-wrenching. It can be frustrating. And we're feeling that all through your character. I think that's pretty remarkable. And they're short episodes, everybody. Like, this is like quick, right?
They're short, which, people's attention span is very
right.
So, you gotta make them short.
Hmm.
You know, so people can like really continue to want to watch them.
Was that on purpose? And was that like a pre-production type, like when you're storyboarding it, so to speak, of like, this is what we want to do, this is how we want it to look, and this and that.
Was that
brought up? Was that like intentional?
Yes, keep it short.
Yeah.
To the point. I actually went through something like that, garage, where
really?
I was getting my hair cut. This is actually how this story came, but I actually was in a parking space waiting to get my hair cut. Somebody took the spot.
Mm-hmm.
There was nowhere else for me to go, I just got so frustrated. And I went into the shop. I went into the salon and I said, somebody's in the handicap spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't park there. And I got a little upset.
Yeah. So they
asked somebody to move his car.
So they did move it in your real life story after you said something. Huh. Did they ever admit to
understand why I was upset?
Really?
Yeah.
Then that probably made you more upset. At least it would for me.
I said, like, well, the lines are there because, you're not supposed to be there because I'm supposed to fit, you know, and be able to come out with my walker.
Right.
So
frustrating.
It is.
When you have let me first start by asking this. With those episodes, even though they're short, and I know only by a little bit of that, for instance, these episodes, it's XYZ amount of content, but there's back end work. If there's research for me and those kinds of things for the guest and everything, you start to know questions I'm going to ask and so forth. So, some podcasters say, well, that's an equation, right? It's like, if you have about a half hour worth of content, you're going to at least triple that in your research time, maybe after editing and so forth. If you do that, XYZ. So if your episodes are, under 10 minutes, 10 minutes long, give or take, how much though production time really goes in then to these? Because they look quick and clean, but there's no way they're just filming that quick and clean. I mean, there must be a lot of work involved before you start rolling and after.
Yes. There's a storyline, there's a script writing, which Peggy did.
Yeah.
And we had editing, which that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
We had a couple people, Craig Hutchison, who's also a co-producer,
executive producer.
Executive producer. Peggy's executive producer. But he helped with some of the editing for Garage. They worked together on that. Then Vince Dedrick Jr., who's like a legendary stunt coordinator, stunt man.
Really?
Yes, wow. He worked with several big names like Jeff Bridges.
Nice.
And did like some of the scenes in Romancing the Stone.
Good
so
movie.
he did our episode Really, where there's the runaway wheelchair. And you know,
that
I've worked
done well.
There's a lot of talented people there that I've worked with, and it's people that Peggy knew, and Tam I knew, and she's just a wonderful choreographer. And it's just a lot of talented people that got together. Yeah.
It is a remarkable collaboration. And there's a spot and you can find all this information on Donna-on-the-go. So Donna on the go, add the dashes in between.com. The episodes are there. Also, there is a tab that says awards. I mean, there's a lot of awards listed here. So this has been recognized multiple times at multiple different indie short fest certificate of achievement. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you're scrolling and scrolling. It's been recognized. And how has that response been for you? You know, did you expect that going in? Is it all been kind of a surprise?
I did not know when Peggy put it in for all these awards, it was like a real pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really, really happy. And I was just like, yay, okay, this is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very, very great surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think everybody wants to be recognized for the hard work that they put into it. You talked about the team of people that were involved, the time it takes. We enjoyed the quick enjoyment of the finished outcome of what it is. And that is kind of like life, right? I mean, if it's sports, you don't see the athlete working out all the time. You see the end result. You see the game. For actors, actresses, all those that work on the film, the end result is, the episode or the film or, the final release of that movie when everyone sees it at its final production. They don't get to see all the back work and how much time, effort, and talent that goes into something like that. And at the end of a day, when you would film and work on this, were there ever days that you were just, for me, I get exhausted quickly. So I guess that's where I'm going with this question. When you do that kind of scene, you talk about the runaway wheelchair in particular, that looked a little more physical than the others possibly. How do you feel after a day of shooting that?
It's many things. I mean, it's tiring, and it's also invigorating because you're like, I can't wait to see, this is fun,
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what it looks like. Happiness. And then you're just like grateful for all these people that have contributed. And then you're like, wow, we just did another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you celebrate. I mean, one time we went to the smokehouse after we did an episode. I think it was Garage.
Mm.
Yeah. And we just kind of like you know, enjoyed each other's company and just celebrated each other.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the time, it's like, okay, wow, now we get to like, now we get to celebrate and have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, reap the benefits of the hard work, right? And how it feels. And working as a team. There's nothing, there's almost nothing better than that feeling of collaborating talents together for the common goal. It's always a remarkable feeling when it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's in the future? What's the next project? Is it more Donna on the go? Is it other things? Have you slowed the dancing down at all? Are you continuing to do more of that too?
I am. Mm-hmm. I am right now. I mean, there's always things in our head.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people want to do more. So that's definitely possible.
Yeah.
I've just been exploring like also yoga and Tai Chi classes.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And just trying to keep my strength because it's been a little hurdle here and there. Like, but just trying to keep the body that I still have working, like engaged and working. I think that's really important, just to keep moving what you have.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Just keeping that as viable as possible. Yeah. Cause you know, and of course keeping your mind in a good place. You mentioned yoga. I know that helps a lot of people with that. Do you do any meditation or things like that to kind of keep your focus?
Yes.
Positive? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I do.
What would be like your, do you have like a daily routine that you would share with people? Maybe advice even of kind of like what you do, this works for you. So you can keep in the dancing, can keep with the creativity without going down some, you know, dark negative hole of, you know, what FSHD can be.
And I do get those times.
Sure.
I'll tell you. But I try to like do the yoga in the morning or whenever, do some exercises with weights. I do that. And just moving my legs. Doing some chair yoga, doing some dance with some people from New York with ZCO Dance Project. I do some classes with them.
Nice.
Just a meditation, you mentioned that. I do try to like just have quiet time. Just I keep myself going with like, I thank you so much for inviting me on this program because this is part of what I do too.
Yeah.
It's part of keeping me active and out there because I don't like go out regularly because it's hard for me to get in and out of a car without assistance.
Right.
So like this kind of Zoom things are very helpful to me. Because it keeps me out there. Like I like people and I like to talk to them, you know.
But you're in the right place, yeah, for that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel connected, you know.
Yeah, because there is a whole community of people out there, right, with FSHD. I don't know what the real numbers would be. I think it's higher than they estimate that have this. And we all have it attacking us in different various degrees for whatever reason. But I always found that mentally, though, it kind of affects us all very similarly, right? Like if something loses in the body, it kind of affects the mind. And I love asking those that are, I always say, wiser than me. And you are one of those people. How do you keep going, right? And so I'm glad that you had this time to share that part with all of us, because I always find that that's massively valuable. If I can keep my mind going in a positive direction more, that's going to help my body physically want to keep doing, right, the things I want to do and love to do regardless. So my last question for you then is, and it is my last question for a lot of people that I have on the show, is, if someone was just recently given their diagnosis, you know, I always call it, in a lot of cases, it's usually a doom and gloom. You know, you have this disease, there's no cure, there's no treatment. You know, some doctors even say, you know, take it easy, watch what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. Even though 20 minutes before they were given the news, there wasn't much difference, you know, from the time they were for diagnosis to after. So if that person just got this news, maybe just today or just this week, very, very recently, and now they're listening to you, Donna, and how you're living your life now, what would be advice you would give them?
Wow, I'm going to start to get emotional now. what would I say to them? Just try to keep doing what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
And change it.
Yeah.
If you need to adapt to it, try to change it. And just surrender. Surrender. I'm trying not to worry too much lately, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
You've been taken care of this far. So just like have a faith that you'll be taken care of.
Well said.
And the universe hears your prayers or your thoughts. So, yeah, that's about what I can say, because there's going to be days that are like hard.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they suck. There's a lot of days that suck. And I always say the less of those in a row, then the better, you know. And or I would tell myself, just one more. Just do one more. Let's just do one more. One more walk. One more. Or when I take my dog for a walk, the fact when I get back to my driveway, I'm like, I did it. I did one more. It was slower. It was harder. Don't care. I got back here. Started here, went around, came back. Did one more. And then I'll deal with tomorrow when it gets here, if it gets here. One more. So that is, I think, similar, right? We kind of share that.
Yeah.
We're right. You're just like, because the changes, even though they feel like they're stretched apart, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the stair falls and so forth. But man, you know, like anything, you know, how kids grow quickly on you and you're like, where did that time go? Or whatever. It doesn't feel slow. It feels like it's quicker. And I don't know why that is, but it is hard not to let the negative thoughts say, okay, man, I'm a lot worse than I was a year ago, or I'm a lot worse than I was, you know, 2 years ago, five, and so forth, and this and that. Even though we know that part is coming, it's like, how do you continue? And that's where I kind of like micro it down to, I don't have to think that far in the future. I don't have to think that far in the past even. Let's just say one more day, get one through, you know.
Yeah, just do today.
Right. Just do today. That should be a shirt. That should be like an FSAG side shirt. Just do today. Well, thanks, Donna, very much for joining us today. And I don't know if you had any final thoughts before I let you go. I mean, you've given us so much of your time right now already, and I loved every minute of it.
Thank you. I loved it too. But yeah, that's a great line.
Yeah.
Just do today.
Just do today. Yeah. We got to, I think you better hurry up and trademark that. I think that's going to be, so now it's going to be out there in the universe. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Donna. You take care. Thanks for being here. And I know we'll, I'm sure, meet again and talk again soon. You be well.
Peace.
That is Donna Russo. She is a great guest on the show. And she has done amazing things in her life. And you could see it. You can still see it. It's all on Donna on the Go right now. It's all out there for you to watch. I watched every episode and loved it. And I thought it was funny. Even a little bit emotionally, though, it was supposed to be funny. I didn't expect to draw out of her in this conversation what we did, her raw emotion of what this is doing to her and so many of us, the taxation of a muscle wasting disease that you live and get a front row seat to, along with your loved ones, along with people that care for you and love you. They see it too. Don't want to leave them out. And then, of course, never want to leave out ever again how it affects so many young people. And if it affects us, and I'm 48, I feel like Donna is in that same realm, you know, having it earlier in life, you know, midlife, whatnot. And there's so many young people that deal with it earlier. It affects them quicker. And for the love of God, we got to do something about it. And that's kind of where the FSHD Society does what they can, along with other groups and foundations, to fight this disease. There has to be something we can do to slow it down, to cripple it, to fight back and do something. And that to me is the takeaway here. We talk always about adaption, about moving forward, doing it anyway, attacking the day. And sometimes those feel like just words, like a mission statement at a, you know, company. You know, people say, oh, we had a great mission statement, this and that. But really what you want is people on a mission. And I think we have to be, as a society, people on a mission and more unified. Over the last year of doing this show, I'm not sure what month this episode is going to be airing in, but it's definitely in the last quarter of the year. Over this 2023, I've heard negativity. You know, another podcast attacking the FSHD Society and what we're doing and how they're helping people and where are they spending money and all this crap. And is negativity. It does nothing but bring down the fight and slow it down. Yet you hear great foundations also doing great work, Chris Carino Foundation and so forth, to name one, World FSHD, the groups in Canada. All the names now are just kind of jumbling together right now in my mind, because, you know, I'm just kind of winging this little thought process of why is there so much divide when you have someone like Donna, who is doing everything she can to keep it together, to go one more day, to keep going. And we have to find something, some cure, some treatment, so people like Don and everyone else that I mentioned doesn't have to deal with this any longer. Because we don't know. We don't know what the next day is going to bring, and no one does. But man, it sure feels like we kind of do understand what the next day brings to some degree. More pain, more problems, more suffering, more weakness, more something I can't do instead of something I wish I could, or something I could still do and I can't. And the frustration mounts. So it leads me then to this. Definitely visit the FSHD Society, be a part of that community, visit other foundations that you deem is a great group to be with. And you don't have to pick one, right? There's multiple. I follow the Chris Carino Foundation, of course, because I have a kind of a podcast host crush on the guy, right? He's great because he does radio. Love it. I love listening to his broadcasts. I do that often, and love his style. And Chris is great. And so hence I follow his foundation. In our community profiles, you know, we air those the second Tuesday of every month. Tune in for all those. Hot off the press. It's on one of the last Thursdays of the month there on the calendar. But there's so many other things to get involved with. Young professionals group. Feeling fit with FSHD, early onset. It's a parents roundtable. Then you have all the chapter meetings to be a part of. There's so many chapters from North Texas to Virginia to North Carolina, Chicagoland area near me here. There supposedly is a Wisconsin base, you know, that I guess I can definitely help fortify. I've only met two other people in the state of Wisconsin that have this disease face to face. And it is a lonely disease when that's all you meet. So why are we not connected more? What are we doing more? Well, the problem is maybe there's people feeding a divide in the community instead of feeding the positive and being unified. So that's my two cents with it. And when I see Donna, someone that gets that emotional, and rightfully so, in how the disease is affecting her life and what's to come, it gets to a point where enough's enough. And I think the only way through it is through it together. And that's kind of where I kind of leave this episode with you. So visit the FSHDSociety.org. You can definitely email me. I think it's been a while since I've shared that email with you. It's FSHDRadio@FSHDSociety.org. My inbox is open and empty, folks. Fill it up. Let me know what you want to talk about. Let me know what kind of guests you want on the show. Let's start a forum there, right in my inbox and we can start kind of rattling off some of your thoughts and things. Follow me on Facebook personally or through the FSHD Society is great too. I'm here for the community in every way I possibly can. Thanks for being on the show. Check out all past episodes as well, where you find your podcasts. I find them on Spotify. You can find all our episodes there as well, including that Justin Cisek episode when he's on with Patrick Gray and from I'll Push You. That's a very early episode, like within the first like three. Great episode. Check that out. Go to the Wayback Machine for that. Don't make fun of how I sound. We have better microphones now. So anyway, I digress. So thanks again for being on the show. Donna, thank you all guests for listening, watching, and being a part of this episode. Wish you the best. Take care. Take care of each other. One more day. Just do today. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.